and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Father, bless this message, this Bible study tonight, please, Lord, as we go through these various points, as we look at the importance of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to realize how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no salvation. There'd be no conviction. There'd be no guidance in all truth. So, Lord, help us tonight to really get a good glimpse of who the Holy Spirit is and how He relates to us and how we are to relate to Him. Lord, again, thank You. When You left this earth, Lord, You sent the Holy Spirit to this earth, and He has been here ever since. I'm so grateful and thankful that the Holy Spirit doesn't come and go and leave us at times. He's with us at all times. Lord, thank You for that. Just bless this time. Bless this evening, Lord. Again, be with the Overtons tonight. Be with Rich and Mary and Karen and Kevin and Bill and the whole family, Lord. Please be with each of them as they're going through the loss of their father. Lord, I pray that You would, that Your grace and that Your mercy and that Your love would just be shed upon this family. Lord, be with Mrs. Overton tonight also. And we just pray that Your perfect will would be done in all of their lives. We pray, Lord, that You would help them to make the right decisions this week. Father, we pray for Brother Grimes as he's having surgery tomorrow. We pray that You'd be with him and give him strength to go through this, Lord. We pray that this surgery would fix his back and that he would be back preaching and just serving You. Lord, be with Chris this week as he's having his surgery on his foot. Lord, please help him. We pray that this would take care of the pain that he has had in his foot, and we just pray that You bless him. And others, Lord, that are sick tonight, several families are home this evening because of whatever it is that they're going through, Lord. We just pray that You'd continue to work in our lives and hearts. We love You, Lord, tonight. Thank You for everything, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here in this verse, the latter part of the verse, it says, and a communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It's like a communication. The Holy Spirit communicates with us. Some people don't view the Holy Spirit as a very important part of the Trinity. But let me say this, that the Holy Spirit is just as important as the rest of the Trinity. Remember, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Just because He's considered the third part of the Trinity doesn't make Him any less of importance than God the Father or God the Son. Without the Holy Spirit, our life would be a wreck, literally. And so we need to be thankful tonight that when Jesus Christ left this earth, that the Holy Spirit was sent here. We talk a lot about the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk about that. That's one of the points out of seven here that we're going to look at. But there's so much more than just the filling of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that Samson was filled with the Holy Spirit four times at least that we know of? Samson. Four times, filled with the Holy Spirit. Look how he ended up. Did you know that Saul, King Saul, was filled at least three, maybe four times with the Holy Spirit? The Spirit came upon them. Now, I know it was different in the Old Testament than it is in the New Testament. That's a whole different thing. I understand that. But King Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit also. But look how he ended up. See, it's more than just being filled one time with the Holy Spirit. It is a perpetual thing. It's something that you need to have all the time. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you go and buy a car, a truck, or whatever kind of a vehicle. You know what it comes with? It comes with a gas tank, right? Without it, you couldn't. Well, now they got these electric things, but let's just say that the car that you're getting has a gas tank to it. Now, when you get that car, you don't fill it up one time and then it's good for the rest of the car, the life of the car, right? Wouldn't that be nice, though? Fill it up one time. That's all you needed to do. Just fill it up once, and phew, here we go. You can travel thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of miles, and you'd be awesome. But that's not the way it works. You buy the gas tank with the car, but you got to put fuel in it every once in a while. And if you don't, you run out of gas. You run out of power. Your car will not, or truck will not, run without gas in it. The gas tank came one time with the car. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit when we got saved. Right? Got saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. But a filling of the Holy Spirit is something that you have to maintain on a regular basis, a constant filling of the Holy Spirit. And so we have to understand that you can't rely on past experiences. Well, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit and had the power of the Holy Spirit in the past. Well, that was good for you. But you can't depend on past experiences. We're reading through the book of Ezekiel. Something I've noticed over and over and over again that Ezekiel brings up under the inspiration of God is he talks about how, and I'm using the vernacular of a Christian today, that believers, there are some people, and I actually experienced this with a gentleman in his church years ago. He's not been in church in a long, long time, but this man had a very, very serious, serious drug problem. So serious, he came to me and he needed help, and I took him to a place to get help. But he thought, because he was so good as a Christian in the past, that all of his goodness could be banked to when he was bad. And that all of his goodness would take care of the sin that he was going through right then and there. I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. Ezekiel makes it very clear in chapter 3, chapter 18, chapter 33, in the book of Ezekiel, that your past righteousness has nothing to do when you sin now. In other words, you don't bank your goodness. Some Christians think that. Well, I'll just be good and good and good. Then I can go out and sin and sin and sin, and all my goodness will take care of the sin. That's not the way it operates. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That's the truth. And all of your sin that you've committed in the past, when you repent, that's gone. You don't have to worry about all the sin that was in the past. When you get saved, when you become a believer, when you trust Christ, that sin is gone. Now, the consequences of that sin may hang around for the rest of your life. But you don't ever have to worry about paying the price for that sin of the past. Remember that. It's, again, some Christians have it mixed up in their brain that they think that they can, just because they're saved, they can go out and sin and do whatever they want. That is not the way it operates. God makes that very clear. And so the Holy Spirit was given to us when Christ went back to glory. Let's look at some, I'm not getting into this yet. I still have some verses we're going to look at. Take a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit does something spiritually that I don't really comprehend completely, but He seals us up. He seals us to the point where we can never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever, ever lose our salvation. We are sealed. Sealed. Don't ever have to worry about losing your salvation. Now, it does not give you a license to go out and sin and do whatever you want to do in life. It does not give you that option. That's not an option for a Christian. When you get saved, you literally can be freed from sin. You are freed from sin, and you don't have to sin anymore after you get saved. The Bible makes that clear. When you or I sin, we do it because we want to. It's just as simple as that. But we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I look at 4:30, Ephesians 4:30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The word grieve means this. I wrote it down in my Bible. I looked it up and I wrote it down. It says, "To give pain of mind to afflict, to wound the feelings." Now here's the Holy Spirit of God can actually have His feelings wounded because of you or I. Think about that. How often have I wounded the Spirit of God? How often have you wounded the Spirit of God? Because of your actions, because of your words, because of your attitude, because of you doing something. How often have we grieved the Holy Spirit? How often have we given pain of mind to the Holy Spirit of God? Think about that. That's something to be concerned about. I think too often we Christians grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't even realize we're grieving the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Why can the Holy Spirit be grieved? Well, it's because He's not just some force out there somewhere. He's the third person. Person. He's a He. Now, He doesn't have a body like we have. He doesn't walk around in a body like we do, even though He's in our bodies. He is a spirit. We know that, obviously. But He has feelings. Just like you have feelings, and I have feelings. We all have feelings. So often we hurt the feelings of the ones we love. Say amen, we do. We do. We hurt the feelings of the ones we love. Now, how about the Holy Spirit's feelings? You ever think about hurting His feelings? Have you ever hurt somebody and you had to tell them you were sorry? So the next time you hurt the Holy Spirit, how about telling Him you're sorry? Tell Him you're sorry. I don't know how many times I have to tell God I'm sorry. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We're not to the blanks yet. So, I mean, if you want to zoom down through there, you think you got all the answers, go ahead and fill them in. We'll see how right you are when we go through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've heard me say this before, but your body is not your body to do what you want to do with your body. Your body belongs to God. If you're saved, your body belongs to God. Treat it like it's God's body. Don't put the junk in it that is destroying your body, but think about how you treat your body because it belongs to God Almighty. And so we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came to indwell you. And He's been with you ever since. He doesn't come and go like He did in the Old Testament. With Samson and Saul and even David, the Holy Spirit came and went at different times in their ministry. Again, look at Samson, filled with the Spirit of God four times. But look how he ends up. So it's not something you can't just get filled one time and be, you know, Mr. Christian and wonderful Christian for the rest of your Christian life. You need that filling on a regular basis. Look at John chapter 14. A lot of verses that deal with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. John 14, verse 16. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Isn't that word comforter good? Comforter. The Holy Spirit is considered our comforter. Verse 17 says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Can you know the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yes, that's what Jesus says here. You can know the Holy Spirit. You know He's living within you. You know that He's abiding within you. He's there. Chapter 15, John, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even a Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Here's that Comforter again mentioned. Not only that, He's the Spirit of truth. If you're listening to the Holy Spirit, you'll never stray from the truth. Because the Holy Spirit will not lead you astray. When we get led astray, it's because something else or somebody else is leading us astray. It's not the Holy Spirit. People get wrapped up into false things today and all kinds of stuff that is not even in the Bible, and they're being led away by another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God. pay very, very close attention to where it is that you're going. Make sure the Spirit of truth is guiding you and guiding you in the right direction. You have questions about things, make sure the Holy Spirit is giving you the direction that you need. 16. John 16. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. We Baptists take a lot of caution when we talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be considered Pentecostal or charismatic. We look at the charismatics and the Pentecostals, and man, they just, you know, the Holy Spirit seems to be all over them sometimes. But the Holy Spirit needs to be all over us. The Holy Spirit is not just for the charismatics and Pentecostals. Now, listen, you know where we stand. I don't believe in speaking in tongues. I believe that was way in the past. That was during the apostles' time. And when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so tongue speaking to me was done away with when the apostles, the last breath of one, the last apostle ceased, then tongues ceased. And I don't believe it's for today. In our Bible Institute, we had a tremendous lesson on that. Just a great, great lesson on that very thing. Brought to light a lot of things that I had never even thought of before, but it is so true. But the Holy Spirit is needed in our life. Without Him, we can't survive as a Christian. We've got to have Him. All right, let's get into our notes. Got a pen, pencil, crayon, quill, something? Let's look at the first one. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Just going to go down through these, look up the verse, give you the word, talk very briefly about these, but I want to get all seven of these in tonight. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, and these are not in any specific order, so don't think that they're in a specific order. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 1. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Write this down. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. That's what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. What is fellowship, by the way? What is fellowship? Spending time with each other. Talking. Communion. Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14? The communion of the Holy Ghost. Communion. Talking. Communicating with one another. Did you know when you pray, you're communicating with the Holy Ghost? You're communicating with the Holy Spirit. That's communicating. That's communion. That's fellowship. And so there's a fellowship that we can have with the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit of God help you with your decision-making process? That's the fellowship of the Spirit. Does the Spirit of God help you when it comes to your Bible reading and Bible study? That's the fellowship of the Spirit. That's what the Spirit's job is. The Spirit guides us through truth, guides us through the Word of God. It's so important that we have this divine fellowship with God. It's the Holy Spirit that allows us to talk to God and gives us the instructions that we need as a Christian. So Paul talks about the fellowship of the Spirit And so that's important that we have that. That's getting to know the Holy Spirit even more, that He's involved in our fellowship. All right, next. Ephesians 5:18. You know what this is going to be, don't you? The filling of the Holy Ghost. The filling of the Holy Ghost. I already told you that. You buy a car, you get a gas tank, but you got to fill it. And boy, are gas prices going up and up and up and up and up. Every time I go to the gas pumps, it's like, oh, woe is me. I was traveling down by Schenectady this week, and I had to get gas. When I got, car got me all the way down there, 3 hours, but I had to fill up before I left, and I was actually getting a little concerned. I left Saratoga Springs. There are no gas stations around, and it's getting lower and lower. And I said, gosh, you got to get me to a gas station. And all of a sudden, I came across a gas station. But boy, gas was higher down there than it is here, close to 20 cents more a gallon. But I had to put gas in the tank, or I would have just been stuck way down there somewhere. That SUV I'm driving that I've rented, the Cadillac, is really nice. But it ain't going to go anywhere unless there's gas in the tank. I can sit in it and enjoy the comfort of it, but without gas, it's not going to take me anywhere. Without gas in your vehicle, you're not going anywhere. You're just going to sit there and look. Thank you. Thank you. Jim said stupid. I wasn't going to say it. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But you need a filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When you think about a filling, it says there in this verse again, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Do you know what the filling of the Spirit is? It's a measurement. You have a gas gauge on your vehicle? Right? Most of us have gas gauges, and most of them work. Sometimes they don't work. You ever have a car that didn't, the gas gauge didn't work? And so you had to guess how much was in it, and you had to keep a thought about how many miles you've gone and how many miles per gallon, and you didn't know where you were. You didn't know if you had a half a tank, three-quarters of a tank, quarter of a tank, eighth of a tank, or no gas. Some of our old cars were like that. You didn't know how much gas you had in it. You had to keep track constantly. But a filling refers to a measurement. There's a measurement there. So to be filled with the Spirit is a measurement of fullness. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Are we filled with the Spirit of God? Many times we are not. Many times we're running on empty of the Holy Spirit. Many times we're running on the fumes of the Holy Spirit. What we all need, every one of us, is we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I think these are in your notes, right? Look at these verses. Let's go to these verses. Acts 4 and verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled. I've underlined the word all. Filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Our churches would be completely transformed. America would be transformed if all of churches, Bible-believing churches around this country, if all of us were all filled with the Holy Ghost. We could change. This nation could be changed again. Look at Luke 1:41. This is interesting. Luke chapter 1. Ladies, this is for you and you only. So enjoy this. Luke chapter 1, verse 41. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So you know who else can be filled with the Holy Ghost, ladies? Ladies can be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a fallacy to think that just the men of the church are filled with the Holy Spirit. Wrong. Everybody can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Remember that little word all a few minutes ago that I mentioned? All, everybody. Ladies, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit also. And so we all need the filling of the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18. Acts 2, 17 and 18. Now, I know this is a prophecy of Joel. It's still future. It's not taking place right now. Some people get this all confused, but I just want you to see something here that's important. Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. I believe this is really more in the thousand-year millennial reign of Christ, and it's not for today. Some people get this confused and think it's for today. Yes, we are living in the last days, but this is not the last days that Joel was talking about. But what I wanted to show you, and spiritually this is true, did you know that young people can be filled with the Spirit of God? You believe that teenagers can be filled with the Spirit of God? Do you believe the little children of the church can be filled with the Spirit of God? Absolutely. These girls right here, Harley and Quinny and Nathaniel, and where's some other little ones here? Little ones. Yeah, Jeffrey, and even Gracie, and Pauly, and Rachel, and all the little kids. Arlie, even the little ones. Jonathan, look at them squishing down in there. Even Jonathan and Jeffrey can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Boy, do they need it. Amen. Kids can be filled with the Spirit of God. All kids can be filled with the Spirit of God. All teenagers can be filled with the Spirit of God. All young people can be filled with the Spirit of God. All of us old people can be filled with the Spirit of God. It's the filling. Again, it's a measurement, and we all need to be full. I do like it when I fill the gas tank on the car. I like that. Gives you a sense of, hey, I can go 428 miles now, or whatever it says on the little thing there, you know. But it gives you a sense of it's better to be full than to be on empty, right? When you get close to empty and you don't know where you are and you don't know if there's a gas station coming up, it gives you a little concern. And so when you fill up the tank, the other day, Friday, when I filled it up and now I can get home. I knew I could get home on a full tank of gas. It gives you a sense of you feel better. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll feel better. Because you're accomplishing what God would have you to accomplish. All right, the next one, you know what that is. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. What is it? What do you think it is? Fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit. How important is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. When you think of fruit, what do you think of? Oh, I think of apple pie. No. But fruit. Fruit is something that comes over time. Now think about this. You plant an apple tree. Are you going to get apples the first year you plant the apple tree? No. It may take years to get apples or peaches or plums or cherries, whatever it is that you planted. It's going to take a while. You plant the tree, you've got to tend to that tree, you've got to prune the tree year after year, you've got to make sure it's watered, you've got to make sure it's got good soil. It takes time. It takes maturity. The fruit of the Spirit is something that comes with maturity. Now, I know when you plant the apple tree, you want apples that year because you want to make Pastor Fenton a good apple pie. I know that. I understand that. But it takes time to get the apples off the tree. It takes work to get the apples off the tree or whatever it is that you're planting. And so the fruit of the Spirit tells me and shows me there has to be some maturity there. And you know, when you grow and you grow, let's say you're planting an apple tree and you want apples, that takes patience. Sometimes we don't have a whole lot of patience, do we? We get somebody saved, we lead somebody to the Lord, we baptize them, we make them a church member, and we want immediate fruit in their life. We want immediate fruit. We want to see fruit right away. That's not good. Now, I want to see fruit eventually, but fruit comes over time, and it takes patience to have fruit. You got to have patience with an apple tree. You plant anything out there. In the springtime, you plant your garden. It takes patience to have any of the fruit that you've planted later on in the season. It takes patience. You know that you're not going to plant a seed tonight, let's say, or tomorrow if it's spring. It's not. You don't plant anything now this time of year, I don't think, except garlic. I think you plant garlic this time of year, don't you? Right? Anybody know? Should be in ground already. Yeah, they say October, November, you got to have garlic in the ground. And so that matures over the winter months, and then next year you can harvest the garlic if you like garlic. Don't you like garlic? Isn't garlic good? Of course. But you're not going to go out and plant something, let's say it's springtime, which is springtime. Let's say it's springtime and it's garden time. And so you're not going to go out and plant something tomorrow and expect fruit on it the very day or the next week or the next month even sometimes. You've got to wait some time, and it takes patience. And so the fruit of the Spirit, I believe, it's going to take some patience. It's going to take prayer. It's going to take work. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That takes time in a Christian's life. Again, sometimes we expect it right away, and it doesn't always happen that way. It would be wonderful if that's the way it works, but that's not the way it works. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit. It's not the fruit of me. It's not the fruit of you. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that generates love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's the Spirit that generates those things. You cannot generate love. You cannot generate joy. You cannot generate peace. You cannot generate long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You can't generate those things without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that generates those things. But you better start showing those things eventually. Fruit. So we got the fellowship, number one. Number two, we got the filling. Number three, we have the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:17. 2 Corinthians 3:17. The fellowship, the filling, the fruit, number four. I'll read it and give you the word if you don't know what it is already. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Guess what the next word is?
Freedom.
These are all F's. They're all F's. The freedom of the Holy Ghost. Freedom from what? Well, there's a freedom from and a freedom to. A freedom from sin, a freedom to serve God. That's what the Holy Spirit allows us to do. We are free. We have liberty tonight, don't we? Don't we? Isn't it great to have liberty? Isn't it great to have freedom? But you don't have freedom to go out and sin. Don't ever think that. Just because you're saved and forgiven and you're on your way to heaven, I can go out and sin and do whatever I want. That's not what the Holy Spirit's all about. That's not what God is all about. You have liberty, though. We have liberty as a Christian to serve God. We've been freed. Romans chapter 6 makes it very clear that we've been freed from the power and the penalty of sin, and someday we will be freed from the presence of sin. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Pastor Overton right now is free from the very presence of sin. He's got or getting or something, however that works. He's got his new body. He's not laying there in pain and suffering anymore. He's got a whole new mind. He's got a whole new body. He's enjoying heaven. That's what you get when you die. Amen. The old body's gone, you get a new one when you get to heaven. Praise God for that. But freedom, the freedom of the Holy Ghost. Now think about this. We've been looking at new cars, and I really would like a new truck, but boy, they're expensive. Now I don't know what you might like, Dodges, Fords, Chevys, everybody's got their taste. Some of you are so adamant about it, you wouldn't sit in anything or drive anything other than the one you like. Some of you are big Ford F-150 fans, right? I like Ford F-150s, and I get made fun of. And some of you are Chevy fans. You would never, ever, ever, ever buy a Ford because you're a Chevy fan. Got to have my Chevy. Some of you are Dodge fans. Got to have your Dodge Ram, you know. All right, let's go out let's go buy a nice big truck. Toyota. Who said Toyota? All right, let's go buy a Toyota. I don't care. Hey, buy anything you want. So sitting in your driveway is this beautiful, brand new 2022. I like Ford F-150. So let's just pretend. I have myself a nice Ford F-150 with all the bells and whistles. And it's about $55,000. That's about what they go for. Silverados, Dodges, they're all, you know, up there. If you buy them with all the stuff on them, you know. You can buy a stripped-down version for maybe $30,000. I don't know. But let's just say you got a really nice one. And it's sitting there in your driveway, and it is a beauty. People drive by and say, whoa, and the eyes go up, and wow, look at that. That is a nice, nice truck. Or let's say you got a brand-new car. Let's just say that. Whatever it is that you got. And it sits there in your driveway. But there's one problem. There's no battery in it. That would be us, yeah. Here you go, Pastor. Here's a nice new truck for you. But it doesn't come with a battery. So, yes, we did. We ordered a car, and it's still not coming in. We don't know when it's ever coming. But anyway, and Kara's the same way. She got the same problem. But let's just say we have the nice new car in the driveway, nice new truck in the garden, whatever it is that you have, but there's no battery in it. Now, you can look at the truck all day long. You could go out and sit in the truck or the car. And you could sit there and you could put your hands on the steering wheel. And you could do this. You're not going to go too far because it's locked. You know what I mean? But you could sit there and you could dream about driving it. You could enjoy the feel of the seats and the space. You could sit there and enjoy that, but it's not going anywhere. You don't have the freedom to take it down the road because there's no battery power in it. Without the battery, that truck's going nowhere. Without the Holy Spirit, you're going nowhere. You might look the part. You might look nice. You might be all polished up, nice tie, nice suit, nice dress, nice, you know, if you got any hair, it's combed and what, you know. You might look the part, but without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the power pack, you're going nowhere, absolutely nowhere. The freedom of the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to have that power that we need, the liberty that we need, the freedom that we need to, you know, nowadays they're coming where you got a fob in your pocket and you just push a button. Boom, the thing starts up. Some of them start from a little key fob. You can push the button. Some of you got one of those things, right? You can sit in. It could be snowing and blowing out there and you sit. I see some of you going, pushing it and waiting to see if it starts. And so you let it run for 10, 15 minutes. Well, 10 minutes, they usually shut. Nowadays, they shut off after 10 minutes. The car we're driving, that's what it does. 10 minutes, if you're not in it, it shuts off. But I can start it from inside. It's amazing. The heated steering wheel comes on for me automatically. And the heated seats come on automatically. It's just a loner. Yes. But when I get in it, it's all toasty warm. And I sit there and I go, oh. This is so nice. But if it didn't have a battery, none of that would work. I could push the button all day long. Nothing's going to work, right? It's the same. That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you and directing you and giving you that liberty, that freedom to go and do what He wants you to do. You might look nice, but you're going nowhere. The freedom of the Holy Ghost. Number five, John 7:37. John 7. Jesus said these words, but He wasn't talking about Himself. He was talking about something else. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as a scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, on Jesus Christ, should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. For number five, put this word in, the flowing of the Holy Ghost. The flowing of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is to flow through us and even out of us. That's part of being filled with the Spirit of God. We should be so overflowing with the Spirit of God that what comes out of our mouth and out of our actions and our attitude should exemplify the Holy Spirit. How often does it? The flowing of the Holy Spirit. Do other people recognize and see that the Spirit of God is flowing out of us? Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Ooh, I got to hurry up. It's after 7 o'clock. Some of you are going to turn into a pumpkin here shortly. That's right. I finished early last week. That's right. Well, I'm taking my time this week. Well, we're almost done. We're almost done. Proverbs 18. Look at verse 21. Look what it says. Are you there? I want you to see this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That speaks to my heart right there. You ever say something you wish you didn't say? There's really no excuse for that. If we were flowing, if the Holy Spirit was flowing out of us, guess what would come out of our mouths? What, dear? Milk and honey, yes. Yes. So we have the flowing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the flowing. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we say matters so much. We need to watch what we say. Number six. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Acts 2, 3 and 4. Acts 2, verses 3 and 4. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those were languages that other people needed to hear to understand what was going on that day. Many times I don't say that they spoke in tongues that day. They literally listened with their ears the language that they needed to hear. One language came out of their tongue, but God, the Holy Spirit, switched it around so they could hear in their own tongue. It wasn't speaking in tongues. They were listening in tongues, if that makes sense. Does that make sense? They heard the language in their own tongue. That makes it very clear there in verse 6. And so we have here, number 6, the fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost was likened to those tongues that look like fire. But let me push this a little bit more. Look at Psalm 104 and verse 4, and then we're going to look at something else here. Psalm 104. Where are you, Psalm 104? There you are. Psalm 104 and verse 4. Psalm 104, verse 4, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire. Boy, we need some fire in the pulpits nowadays. And, can I say this? We need some fire in the pews today. Amen. 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 Jeremiah. It's not in your notes, write it in. Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 14. Jeremiah 5, 14. Write that down next to this one. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. When we speak the word of God, you know what we're speaking fire. That's what we're speaking. We're speaking fire. Fire is coming. Now, not literally. You don't see fire coming out of my mouth, do you? Of course not. There's no fire coming. I'm not a fire-breathing fire-breathing dragon or I'm not a fire-breathing pastor. But when we speak the Word of God, it's like as fire coming out. Look what Jeremiah says in 20, verse 9. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Has to do with the Word of God. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. We looked at this briefly this morning in Sunday school. At the top of the page in my Bible, it says Jeremiah's complaint. Yeah, even Jeremiah complained. Because he preached and preached and preached and nobody would listen. People went off and did their own thing constantly. They ignored the Word of God. I said that in Sunday school. There's so often today, the preachers get up behind their pulpits and they preach and preach and preach, and yet the people out there sitting, listening, go out and do their own thing. Completely ignore the Word of God. Jeremiah was fed up with that. He was getting tired of this whole thing. And we see in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name." Period. But the verse doesn't end there. "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, I had to keep going. I had to keep going. I had to keep going. I had to keep preaching, keep teaching, keep telling. I had to keep on going. Why? Because this word of God in his heart was burning as fire. So the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and it's as a fire when we preach. It does something. Fire does a lot of different things, doesn't it? And so when we preach the Word of God, many times this Word does a whole bunch of different things with people. Sometimes it's going to burn somebody. Sometimes it's going to loosen up and break down some things that's going on in people's lives and hearts. And so we have the fire of the Holy Ghost. Lastly, look at this one. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Isaiah 59, 19. Here's the last one. Isaiah 59, 19. 59, 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Put this last word in, the fight of the Holy Ghost. The fight of the Holy Ghost. Isn't it good to know that the Holy Spirit is fighting for us and with us? Isn't it good to know that we're not alone in this fight? Sometimes we think that, oh, I'm so alone in this fight. Nobody seems to care. The Holy Spirit is fighting with you and for you. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 and 7. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." You know who that's talking about? That's talking about the Holy Spirit. That word "let" means to hold down, hold back, or restrain. You ought to be thankful that right now the Holy Spirit is restraining the works of Satan and his cronies right now. But boy, I'll tell you, at the rapture of the church, it's not that the Holy Spirit won't be on planet Earth, but his holding back, his letting is going to be removed. And during that tribulation period, there is no holding back. The Antichrist and the works of Satan. Right now, the Holy Spirit is just holding that back. It's like a huge dam just holding back the force of that water. But when he's gone, the dam explodes. And literally, things are going to take place upon this planet that has never, ever, ever taken place. You ought to be thankful you're saved tonight. You ought to be thankful that you're going to heaven someday. You ought to be thankful that when the rapture occurs, you're leaving. You're not going to be around for 7 years. Thank God for that. I'm glad that I have learned that down through the years. I'm glad I'm not going through the tribulation period. I'm leaving before the great tribulation period takes place. So we have the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Holy Ghost, the fruit of the Holy Ghost, the freedom of the Holy Ghost, the flowing of the Holy Ghost, the fire of the Holy Ghost, and the fight of the Holy Ghost. How important is the Holy Ghost? How important is the Holy Ghost? Are you saved tonight? If you are, you have the Holy Ghost on your side. You have all seven of these things on your side, helping you every single day of your life. When you pray, it's okay to talk to the Holy Ghost. Did you know that? When you pray, it's okay to talk to the Holy Spirit. I talk to Him all the time. When I pray, I pray to the Father, I pray to the Son, and I even pray to the Holy Spirit. I pray to all three of the Godhead. Why leave one of them out? Right? Why ignore one of them? Especially the one that's with me all the time. Why ignore him? Talk to him. It's okay. Talk to him. Communicate with him. Remember, we have the communion of the Holy Spirit. That's where we started tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Commune with Him. Talk with Him. Now, He's not more important than Jesus Christ. He turns people to Jesus Christ. We understand that. But it's not wrong to talk to the Holy Spirit. It's not wrong to pray and talk to the Holy Ghost. We're to be praying in the Holy Spirit. He guides us in our prayers. There's times that we don't know what to pray. Guess who's praying for us? The Holy Spirit. I hope this was a help to you. I don't know if it was or not. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe you're just sitting there wishing that we're done. Well, it's almost 20 after. Let's finish up. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson on the Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd help us all to just get a hold of this, really get a hold of it in our hearts, and help us, Lord, to put these things into practice. Help us, Lord, to appreciate.